Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Get ready, Ohio. FanDuel, America's number one sports book, is coming to the Buckeye State. And to kick things off, you can get started with $100 in free bets as an early sign-up bonus. Plus, when you sign up today with promo code OHIOFD, you'll be all set when FanDuel goes live in Ohio. Then you can bet on all your favorite teams in all your favorite sports with $100 in free bets. Just download FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Ohio, this is your chance to get in on the action. Join today with promo code OHIOFD. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older and present in Ohio. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after FanDuel accepts its first real money sports wager in Ohio, 1-1-23. Unique user identity verification required. Offer ends on the go live date. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. Got another draft topic today, and this, I think, is a really interesting one, looking at specifically at the David Ajabo pick, but maybe more importantly, looking at kind of a different methodology of how you segment elements of value from this pick. Joining me to do this is Tyler Gross. Tyler, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. How are you?
Happy to have you here. This is really a fascinating topic.
And I'm excited to be here.
I really appreciate people like you who reach out and have an idea for a topic. This is narrow. It definitely meets the standard, and we're going to go into some depth on this, but this is very interesting stuff. So basically, summarize what you did for me during the production meeting about how you look at the David Ajabo draft value.
Yeah. Well, so this is the first time I've ever done anything like this, and you're being such a fan of your show is basically what led me down the road, because I hear you talk in depth about this stuff really analytically. And so I wanted to try to put this concept I had to, you know, like more concrete kind of pen to paper. So what I was going for after the Ajabo pick, I had mixed feelings, and I was trying to reconcile the loss of value that I think we were going to have with what we could hopefully expect from a player who is so much more highly regarded than where he went. So basically, I made a spreadsheet of top 16 picks just for the purposes of the discussion. I assumed he was going to miss the first year, so expect nothing, and assume he would have been a top 16 prospect. So top half of the first round, what are these guys? projecting out over their rookie deal versus these top of the second round guys, and then just taking that loss of the rookie year and seeing if I could find some gain or loss in the value there with some additional factors that we'll go through.
All right. That sounds good. So who were some players you were comparing them to from, for example, the first round?
Okay. So I went back from 2013 through 2018, and I took all of the edge players drafted, and I stopped it at 2018 just so I could actually see the contracts they got and figure out, you know, what kind of comp picks we would have got back.
Okay. So one thing I love to hear in that sentence is I went back and I looked at all or in every, because it means you didn't cherry pick. This is every single one who got drafted in the range that you specified, right? And so these are guys, what pick range are we taking here?
So I took, So I used Stathead, which was, I think it's part of Pro Football Reference. Mm-hmm. And I just went picks one through pick 16, years 2013 through 2018 edge. And then I actually had to remove a couple guys who were clearly not edge guys, that they were like interior defensive linemen, and I didn't want to bog down the stats with those guys. So maybe one or two guys got pulled, but it was the entire pool of those edge defenders. So I made a list of that just to give you a couple names. It's guys like Joey Bosa, Miles Garrett, Vic Beasley, Ezekiel Ansah, Deion Jordan. So guys like that in the first round. Some of the second round highlights, one of the Ravens' own, Tyus Bowser, Jihad Ward, who had a stint with us. So guys like that. And then I popped over to Pro Football Focus and I got their grades. I just decided to go with Pro Football Focus for their ratings. So I just got their grades for their rookie years. Then I got the grades for the first 4 years of that rookie contract total. And then I just kind of averaged them out and made a couple columns there so you could see what you would expect from a player picked in the top half of this first round on their rookie contract and then versus that top second round guy.
Okay. So let's look specifically at those two groups and, and what did you find in terms of aggregate performance for the top 16 group and then for the top 16 of the second round group?
Right. So there's obviously a jump, you know, somewhat significantly on what you could expect here. So the average, the PFF average grade for that, just the rookie year is just under 71, 70.9. Then for the cumulative rookie contract, and this is just the 1 through 4 years because that fifth year option isn't available for that second round guy. So this is just 1 through 4 is 73, which is actually fairly significant. The first round guys here, that rookie average actually would put them in the top 30 edge rushers on PFF's list for just last year, the graded players. So that the rookie contributions in that first round top 16 guys are essentially performing at a top 30 edge rusher in the NFL overall for the course of that rookie deal. The second round guys, that rookie year, they're at 58. And then the aggregate over the course of the rookie contract is 63, which would put them in the top 65. So essentially the second level.
Okay. Important note about the PFF system is that 60 is an average player. In fact, if you go in, you get one snap and you don't have a rateable event, you're at a 60 on the thing. So above 60 starts to be a contribution to value. And there's another component to this. I really recommend people, by the way, go and get a subscription to PFF. It's a very good service. And one of the things that it does is if you have a long time at a 65 performance, like if you had a 65 game every single game for the entire year, your overall grade for the year might be in the 70s, might be 72, 74. And that seems counterintuitive because it's not an average. It's like a additional contribution made above average, and doing that for an extended period of time makes you more above average over the course of a season, if that makes sense to people.
Okay.
All right.
Gotcha.
So anyway, what we're basically seeing from the top 16 picks of the second round is they're pretty average NFL players.
Yeah. You could definitely make that assertion. It's, you know, it's hard to, it's weird with these ratings too. You're right. You kind of pointed it out sometimes. Like when I was looking at it, so Tyus Bowser, I wanted to grab a couple names from last year's rating just to give some perspective. Tyus Bowser was rated at a 73. So that puts him right exactly where these, you know, these rookie deals were putting these top 16 guys. And then Matt Judon was in the mid to high 60s. I think he was like a 68, which would put him in the second round, guys. But, he had a good year to me with the Patriots. So I'm not totally sure how it correlates here. But basically, the first round top 16 guys are going to give you solid starter production for the course of the rookie deal. And then the second round guys, it seems like maybe they'd be like the second guy on the edge rush, you know, like the number two. Oh, I think you're muted.
You know, it wouldn't be a show if that didn't happen at least once. We make no attempt to edit those out. So
I'm honored I got to be a part of it.
All right. So anyway, I forgot what I was going to say. Yes, it's been suggested by many folks that the Ajabo pick is a first round swing with a second round pick. And the only issue I have that is the loss of the developmental season. So I agree that if you started his career in 2023 and David Ajabo is exactly the same player he was when he was at Michigan as a senior, the Ravens get a hell of a deal.
Okay? Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah,
but that's not going to be the case, unfortunately. He's probably going to lose the developmental year. And you can see right from these stats, whether it's a first or second round pick, there's a substantial uptick in play between year one and year two, year one and the entire rookie deal, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Almost exclusively. There was a couple outliers. I think Vic Beasley had an outlier, you know, but you're right. But that's interesting. Cause I mean, the developmental part is a big part of it. I was concerned with the loss of the production, like the mm-hmm. immediate impact as well. You know, we did catch lightning in a bottle a little bit with Adafe Owe last year, but I mean, he was a really important part of that defensive rotation. And, you know, someone who was an even higher regarded prospect not having that contribution is going to be, you're going to notice it's not there. Mm-hmm. So I was concerned with that as well.
It took them time to get value out of Tyus Bowser. I'm trying to think of players who were actually injured in their first years who were Ravens edges, and that's harder for me to go back and get that. There've been obviously some people didn't work out like Kalfusi,
Sergio Kendall.
There's a good one. Yeah. Yes, there's a good one.
Yeah, he couldn't beat Lineman or Stairs.
Yes. That's bad. Okay. Yeah. So the other question I had for you is here, you have a rookie year for PFF and rookie contract for PFF. So is that rookie contract years 2 to 4?
No, I took the whole thing. So I wanted to, because I wanted to factor in the season that he would be missing, or that, you know, the hypothetical player would be missing. And then,
we'll completely agree with the methodology, but what I would say is that the jump is even more pronounced from year one to years 2 through 4 mm-hmm. when you take the lower number one out of the total for the 4 year period.
Yeah, and I didn't want to. I thought it would start to give. I mean, it's already, you know, not the best source by only having one source that I'm using for the numbers. But then if you take out the worst year, then you're kind of like you're tilting the scales a little bit.
Okay, we don't really like to bash other people's models here. We want to do is try and understand what kind of you took from this, and no model's perfect, so don't worry about that. We're just looking at this and trying to see what can this tell us. But I'm more interested in the other things you were telling me in the production meeting about what are the other elements of value. So I think you had it nailed to three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three.
Yeah. So there was a few other things I was trying to think, you know, conceptually, what are these, what other value does a draft pick give you? So I have a category here that I looked up all of these guys and which one of them or how many of them turned into like first team all pros, multiple time pro bowlers. Eric DaCosta has talked in the past about his desire to find these blue chip guys, you know, the real difference makers. And I don't know how easy it is to quantify the jump that you get from a solid starter to the blue chip guy, but the first round has a pretty significant hit rate here. It's over 50%. Almost 2 out of 3 of these guys become pro bowlers, all pros, or multiple, all pro bowler guys. And only one guy, in the 5 years that I took this, pool of players turned into a Pro Bowler in the second round. So you have a significantly higher hit rate for what you would call blue chip players. Then there's an additional value, I think, to be gained in the compensatory pick you would receive for the player were you to choose to let him go. So almost every one of these guys in the first round goes for a third or a fourth round pick. Only two players didn't. So you're going to get a third or a fourth most likely. And then the second round guys, it's a lot more hit or miss. Over half of them, you didn't get anything back. And then a sixth, a couple threes on the, the home run hits. So there's additional benefits to getting this comp pick. There's the chance of hitting and getting these blue chip guys. And then one of the things we talked about, I think, is the option you have in how you handle the upcoming contract. So that second contract doesn't just represent you wanting to keep the guy as part of your team or letting him go for the comp pick. It represents the options you have in team building, where you can look at, the pipeline of players you have coming up or what's on the open market. And then you can, how much of this production can we fill with someone else at a much cheaper cost and pocket this third or fourth round pick? And I think that flexibility represents a significant value as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great point. I've never really had it couched in exactly that manner, but you look at the Baltimore Ravens and they've been forced into a number of heartbreaking decisions about who they let walk from their team. And a lot of teams face this. Good teams that draft well face it. It's the far superior position to be in than to be in a position where you don't have a lot of choices between what players you let walk, because you don't have that many good players you drafted in total.
Right.
So yes, I think it does create a meaningful option. So you look at the end of a season like this last year, where the Ravens had to make choices about who they would keep and who they would let go. And, they coming out of that 2018 draft, which was historic in nature, not only did they have to make choices at that point, they actually kind of had to unwind that draft during the first 4 years, because they knew these contracts were all stacked up and they were going to come due. So Orlando Brown had to be traded. Mm-hmm. Hayden Hurst had to be traded because they found a better tight end than him after the first round. And Kenny Young didn't really do all that much, frankly, in Baltimore, but they found a way to really make use of that value by trading him. And he's ended up being a decent player elsewhere. So I think that option value that you speak of really is very significant. And the Ravens do a good job of deciding who their cornerstone players are going to end up being. At least we hope so. We had some unfortunate injuries recently with Stanley and Humphrey, but
yeah. Yeah. That also, I think, speaks to, I think you and I both feel this way, the positional value argument where you're taking these top draft pick guys. I always bristle a little bit when I hear, is this running back on the Ravens radar? Or, they're looking at this guy or that guy. I think you and I both had mixed feelings with the Linderbaum pick. When you take these top tier guys, Orlando Brown, it's a tackle, Hollywood Brown, wide receiver, even if things go somewhat awry where the guy isn't happy and he wants to be traded, you still have so much flexibility because of the value that he carries just by playing the position he does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good point. You dealing with premium position value in the first round, if you just totally ignore it and look at your needs instead, or even look at just value instead, I think there is a lot of risk involved. I think you run the risk of not being able to fill those premium positions. It's unfortunate because the Ravens in this offseason went out and got Marcus Williams, paid a huge contract to him, 5 years, $70
million. Yeah.
But I considered that money well spent, because it's basically saying that one of the premium positions we would need to draft in the first round, a free safety, is taken care of. And then what happens? They get the value pick of all time dropping to them in terms of Kyle Hamilton. Maybe not of all time, but one of the great ones.
Right.
And they feel compelled to take it, even though it's a second free safety.
Right. Yeah. 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 That, I think EDC probably was put in a conundrum there with the best guy on the board versus like the team need. Obviously, I think almost always the best guy is winning. Mm-hmm. But the flip side of that is that if the best guy on the board isn't in a the high value position, I think that's where there's pushback, where I wasn't happy with the Queen pick either. Mm-hmm. Part of it, I think, is just playing the percentages and giving yourself as much wiggle room to be wrong as you can. And when you're taking a guy who is at a lower value position, you have to hit at least somewhat with him to get the value out of it. You know, Hollywood Brown, maybe we'd put him as like an above average starter, or, you know, like solid starter, was somewhere below Pro Bowl and starter. Right. Mm-hmm. And if you had that level for a center, like if Linderbaum ends up playing at that level and you trade him in that fourth year, you're getting a mid round pick back for a solid starting center. But Hollywood, you can flip him for the same pick you drafted him for because he plays wide receiver.
Yeah. And it was interesting. The value they got for Hollywood was kind of difficult to explain, even why the Cardinals would want to trade that away that much to get him. But obviously the Ravens would be the beneficiaries.
Yeah, luckily DeAndre Hopkins doesn't know how the banned substances policy works. I think that played a big part in that.
But it could be.
Well, because I don't know if you heard that he tested for it last season and then kept appealing it, and it just didn't make it into the news. So the Cardinals knew the whole season about this.
Okay, when did the news come out, actually?
After a few days after the draft.
Okay.
A few days after the draft, but apparently the test happened last November, and then he went through the appeals process and it was denied. So the Cardinals knew, and I think that's why the talks kind of started.
Is he missing half a season then, or what's he missing?
I think 6 games.
Okay.
I think 6 games, yeah.
All right, fair enough. No, good information. I was not keeping up with that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But Tyler, impressive topic. It very well put together here.
Thanks.
I like it. The philosophy of the topic in terms of breaking out the value into three pieces, I really like, and appreciate you coming on and talking to us about it. So tell folks again where they can talk football with you, whether it's Twitter or wherever.
You know, I don't really use Twitter. My Twitter handle is just, I don't even know what it is. It might just be my name, Tyler Grose, TylerGrose. But honestly, I'm really never on there. My Instagram is Tyler, not Taylor. So, you know, I'm on that sometimes, but I consume the media more than I take part in it.
All right. Well, by all means, jump in on the conversation, and I'm sure you'll get some followers quickly on Twitter if you want that. And a lot of people don't, and I understand that and respect it too. The second person has been on the show recently who really doesn't have a Twitter presence, which is a little unusual in younger people today.
Yeah. I know. But, I'm not a big social media guy. I honestly, I forgot I had the account, and I just logged in so I could DM you the message basically about, you know, this idea that I had. So,
well, very cool. Thanks for doing this. Exactly what we're looking for in terms of film study shorts. So if you're out there, DMs are open on Twitter. Hit me up. Love to hear from you, and we'll get you on real quickly. The whole start to finish time on this was under a week, right, Tyler?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, great. And that's the kind of time frame we'd be looking at. And, you know, it's now, not later. Tyler, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks again, Ken.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.